selling your home or finding a buyer for your property is a bit like going fishing. Like, we can have the boat and the bait and the gear and all that sort of stuff and the weather, the conditions, but you really don't know how big that fish is going to be until you get it to the boat.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 45 of Real Estate Pros. It is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate professionals and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. As always, I am your host, Josh Cobb, and I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Greg Okladnikov, the director at Star Partners in Auburn. Greg is going to share with us his background in real estate. We discuss Greg's focus on weekly goals and the benefits this brings to their lead generation and prospecting results, and why there's a big difference between amateurs and professionals when it comes to the business of real estate. But before we meet our guest this week, I have something special I'd like to share with you.
Is your real estate agency wondering what to say or do on social media?
Do you have a suspicion that your business is underexposed online?
Join other leading real estate professionals from around Australia at the Social Media for Real Estate Agencies Masterclass Series 2015. Get actionable tips and strategies that you can apply in your business today to take your business to the next level.
Brought to you by Steps and Net 101.
The Social Media for Masterclass Series is coming to Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane this October. Discover the best ways to market yourself and your business on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, and your own website. You'll be led by two of Australia's leading digital marketing advisors, Tim Martin from Net 101 and Josh Cobb from Steps.
Learn how great real estate brands from around the world get noticed, liked, and shared online.
Register now for the Social Media for Real Estate Agencies Masterclass Series 2015 at steps.com.au/masterclass.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are just a few weeks away from the Social Media for Real Estate Agencies Masterclass Series for 2015. I am super excited to be joined by Tim Martin, the founder of Net 101. Tim is Australia's largest social media educator, so you're in for a real treat. We're going to be giving you actionable tips and strategies for taking your digital marketing to another level. We're going to be looking at everything from Facebook marketing, video marketing, how to improve your Google search ranking, and how to use your website as the central point of all of your marketing online, not only to get more email subscribers and build your social media following, but to how to get more leads into your sales and property management department, which is what we all want to do at the end of the day. So if you haven't registered yet, go and do that now as steps.com.au/masterclass. And if you're even if you're the property manager in the business, the receptionist, the principal, the salesperson, anyone in your business in charge of social media or digital marketing, you definitely don't want to miss this event. If you bring along someone else from the office, you will get a 30% discount off the cost of every ticket. So all the more reason to bring along one of your office friends with you. And we're going to be sharing with you examples of how other real estate brands are really doing amazing things in digital marketing and social media from not only here in Australia, but New Zealand, Canada, and the United States. So go ahead and register at steps.com.au/masterclass. And I look forward to seeing you there. And with that, let's transition over to this week's interview with Greg Okladnikov. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Greg Okladnikov, the director at Star Partners Auburn. With 15 years' experience in the real estate industry, Greg has been ranked in the top five of all Star Partners agents for the past 10 years running. Having been a leading agent with Star Partners Marylands, selling over 1,500 properties, Greg opened Star Partners Auburn in 2013. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, Greg, but take a minute, tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of your business.
Yeah, look, I started working life as a school teacher, which I did for 7 or 8 years at high school, then went into real estate at Star Partners Marylands for maybe a one-year break at that stage from teaching. And 18 years later, after 15 years at Marylands, opportunity came up at Auburn to sort of take over the franchise as the previous owner had retired. And I sort of stepped into that role and took over the office probably back in May, June 2013.
Fantastic. So you live in the area as well, Greg, as well as work in Auburn?
Yeah, I live in Maryland. When I was a teacher, I actually taught in Auburn. My wife grew up in Auburn. So I mean, Maryland and Auburn, if you're not familiar, it's probably about 4 kilometres apart, maybe 5 kilometres apart maximum. So geographically, it's the same sort of part of Sydney, similar sort of clientele, similar demographics. And just sort of two suburbs down the road.
Well, for those who aren't familiar with that area of Sydney, Greg, can you describe the area to our listeners, what type of property or price range you typically represent and I guess what the market's been like in recent years?
Yeah, well, our Auburn franchise area covers a range of suburbs. It covers everywhere from like Olympic Park, that new sort of estate of Newington, through to some older sort of, you know, 40, 50-year-old units and 100-year-old sort of workers' cottages type of homes. So typically if you had to pick an average across the whole area for strata properties, they're generally anywhere from sort of 450 to 600 would be probably a median sort of range. And then your house prices are probably anywhere from sort of 800 to $1 million. But it is a very broad market with sort of the newer units out Newington Way. It's a really mixed range of properties, which is probably great in real estate because there's always buyers for some type of property. Our average sort of area, it's a very multicultural area. I think I was reading the stats that Auburn's probably the highest multicultural council area in Australia. So it's a really mixed range of people, demographics. And also that the housing sort of matches that as well.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate enough to spend some time with you, Greg, when you first opened the office back in 2013, you might recall, and something I noticed very quickly, it is a very diverse suburb in terms of cultures in the community. What unique challenges does that bring to listing and selling real estate?
Well, I think it's no different really to any. It's more the case that you've got to be a good listener. You've got to be patient. There's a lot of also education involved as well in the selling process, or the listing or selling or buying or renting process. There's a lot of people who you have to educate through the process, also the language of real estate in terms of things like contracts and cooling off periods, deposits, lease agreements, irrespective of what part of real estate, there is a lot of that sort of work involved as well. But overall, it's the process is no different. People, you know, buy and sell for their own reasons, or they rent or lease for their own reasons, and it's just working through that process. And I think the essential thing is just having that patience to work through with the client as to working out exactly how to help them.
Well, something else I know you have quite a passion for, Greg, is the property management department, and I'm curious to know for our listeners who are selling principals themselves who may be neglecting the property management department just a little. What's your advice on the benefits of looking at property management to the level that you do, and what are some of the things that you've put in place to, I guess, some of the systems and procedures and things like that to really take care of that so that you can keep listing and selling property?
Oh, I think you've got to have an all-round service. I think we have a lot of people who we started off with no rent roll. We started from scratch with no sales and no rent roll. Essentially, it's more a case of if you sell a property to an investor buyer, I think you should be able to give them the service of looking after their property as well, and vice versa. Someone who maybe comes in and says, look, I've got a property that I want you guys to look after, and the rental might turn into a sale down the track. So I think if you've got a real estate office, it's probably to give an all-round service, I think it's better to have both parts of it working well.
Just from researching for this interview, Greg, I noticed that you're pretty passionate about automation and systems, and it gets talked about a lot in the industry. I understand that you have a passion for simplifying those systems so everyone understands and can execute that system. What is an example of just one system or process or set of tasks that you've turned into a system that has made the most impact in your business?
I think if there were two, I'd probably have to pick two. It's probably hard to split the one, Josh, if that's okay.
Sure.
One of them from day one, we started with the weekly email through iRealty, and that was almost from sort of week one or week two of being open, and that goes out now like every Wednesday at a certain time. It's completed by a certain time on a Tuesday, and it's become that touch point that I guess the customers who like to receive it, we send out maybe around 5,000 or 6,000 a week.
Wow.
And it's become a regular like a newsletter with some local information. It also has information about property and various other things.
Yep.
But it's become like a standard type of communication as a fairly low key, but a lot of people are clicking on it, looking through it. And the other one was we just set up a quarterly market report, which we mail out to everyone in our database who owns a property in our franchise area, who maybe bought a property. They might be a landlord of ours. There might be a buyer who's looking to just doing some research in the market, but they do own something in the area. And that gets put together and goes out every quarter, and they're just seasonal. So it's summer, spring, winter, autumn. And that just covers a 9-day period. And those people get put in the system, in the database with a trail attached, for a minimum of 4 contacts a year. And those 4 contacts as a baseline become the market reports that they get.
Having made the transition, Greg, from salesperson in a big team to now running your own business, what advice would you give to people thinking of doing the same thing? And I guess what advice would you give to your younger self knowing what you know now as a business owner?
Oh, that's a good question. I think first off, be up for the challenge. I think I've had this chat to a few people and I've said, look, it's probably not going to be as hard as you think, but it also won't be as easy as you think. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's sort of some things will be harder, some things will be easier. Mm. You've got to be prepared for the fact that in the end, when push comes to shove, the buck does stop with you. Mm. And you've got to make a lot of decisions. There's responsibilities, not just for clients, but you've got responsibilities for staff and making sure it's a good environment for them, for career progression, and the business is successful so that everyone can have a win who works there. Mm. I guess advice point of view, I think when we started, I didn't start with a business plan, Josh. Which is probably a little bit a different sort of approach, because I didn't really know what the numbers would be or how many sales we would make. We started more with a marketing plan and a systems plan to say, well, these are the things we're going to put in place. Mm. And after 6 or 12 months, we'll see what the numbers are in terms of how many sales we're making and how many sales we think we need to make. I had a rough idea of the numbers that we need to do, but the plan was more across what's going to be our email marketing, what's going to be our market report, what are we going to do in terms of follow-up with buyers and trails and those sort of contact plans. And it was more around how the brand would look and how the that marketing aspect in terms of creating leads would run rather than a business plan. I think that's very important. I think a lot of people start off with a business plan of we want to make 10 sales or whatever commissions to the office, but they don't really know how they're going to do that. Whereas we started with, well, this is how we're going to do, get the leads to get the business in, and then the numbers will look after themselves. If you get the good customer service and good structures, it will then look after itself. The other advice would be continually work with your database in terms of putting people in and always be looking for people who own property in your area and then put them into a contact plan so that at least they get something of value from you 4 times a year as a minimum. And the other rule I would suggest would be whenever you have a property settle as a sale, put 20% of that commission away in a separate account and don't touch it.
Yeah, no, great advice. I think that's certainly a big thing for a lot of salespeople is once the money's in, it's almost spent before it's earned. Unfortunately, for some,
that financial management's a real learning thing, and we're the same thing where we put that away, we put some away. That's the GST you collect that goes away when it settles. So you're running the business on real revenue and 80% of it, and you've got you don't want to get what they call, tax shock or BAS shock, or the GST invoice comes in, you've got to pay that quarterly BAS. And a lot of people struggle with that because they haven't planned for it or put that money aside for it. And that's one thing that we've done from day one, which has meant that when those things do come in, we've had that covered. So you haven't had that added stress of we need to find that money somewhere, because as it settles, we just put it away because it's not our money anyway. It's a tax office money. So that it just made that whole part of it a bit less stressful. And you learn to run a bit leaner when you're running on 80% of your revenue rather than 100%. And that forces you to make, I guess, smarter decisions. And you're always, always questioning, do we need to spend that money or do we not need to spend the money? and is that a benefit, is it not a benefit, and then you make a decision based on that.
A lot of look, not everyone makes that transition from salesperson to business owner, as we said before, successfully, Greg, and it's
not easy.
Yeah, and I think the shortcomings really come when you think of the business as a real estate business. Well, you're not thinking of it as a business. You're thinking of it as from a salesperson's perspective. And at the end of the day, it's really all about thinking like a business owner as opposed to just a salesperson, right?
And I think, initially when you first start, you're the owner, you're the salesperson, you're the cleaner, you're the everything person.
Yeah.
But over the last sort of 12 months, it's been more a case of, well, you have to start looking at, and I still like listing and selling. I still like that part of it. I still like chasing business and, you know, doing listings and having great auctions. I love that part of it. But I think also you need to look at, well, what is your main role as the one? You're sort of part leader and part coach, but you're also part captain. I don't like being the boss as such, more of a captain and a coach. Yep. But also at the same time, you've got to look at, where are you best utilised? So in my case, it's more a case of, I think it's more best on strategy and thinking about new ideas to generate leads for the team, and revenue ideas based around revenue growth, whether it be sales or property management, and then having maybe other people come in who can do other things a little bit better than you, or they're more specialised in, I guess, the back end or admin or those sort of things, so you can be a bit out of that and more in the actual things that you're strong at. But if someone's stronger in the admin and the back end, they might need to find someone who can be an office manager or an office leader. So it just depends what your own skill set is and which part of the business you want to be involved in more.
Well, Greg, I'd love to turn the spotlight on to moments of your career that have made you who you are today. And we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate, whether they're up on a stage at a conference or a seminar or something like that. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to the ground level of actual moments in time where you failed or succeeded. So with that in mind, can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career where you felt like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Oh, I don't know if it was a failure, but I think it was a big turning point in probably the biggest turning point. And whenever I've done my own sort of training, I tell this story all the time. And I was working at Star Maryland's. I've been there for probably 4 or 5 years. I was one of the top agents in the office. And my parents lived in Maryland's. And they decided to sell, and we've been talking about it for a year. And then they listed it with another office in Maryland's. And that was an interesting experience, because people were going to the open house at my parents' place and saying, isn't the photo of the guy on the wall, isn't that the guy who works at Star Partners, but you're with another company? What's going on there? And, you know, mum would say, oh, yeah, the other agent had cheaper commission and this and that, whatever. And in the end, they didn't sell it. We took it on. We sold it for $40,000 more.
Wow.
But it was more of a learning thing that it was, I almost assumed that I was always guaranteed to win the business, and I never got it because maybe I took it a bit casual or thought, oh, yeah, this should be a no-brainer. I'll get this 100%. And from that point on, I've never taken any opportunity for granted, whether it be a relative, a friend, a past client, someone you've done multiple transactions for. I've always taken everything to be 110% professional and to do everything right 110%, even if it's, you know, direct family or doesn't matter who it is. When we talk about their plans to sell or buy, it's 110%. I'm the friend, but I'm also the agent, as opposed to just being a friend popping over and talking about real estate. And that's made me look at that experience, made me look at improving the listing presentation, improving, like, the whole thing had to be reviewed, because I thought, geez, this is a wake-up call when your parents list it with another agent in the same suburb that you work in. And that was a really, really big turning point for me in that whole awareness of, you know, to how do you win the business and how good you have to be, and that sort of new level of new standard. That's probably one interesting story I tell quite a lot.
Something that I think, you know, a lot of agents fall down in the area of post listing. So, I mean, the image of the perceptions of real estate agents report that was published by the guys at RP Data a little while ago, Greg, showed that once the property had been listed, there's a complete almost erosion of trust with the agent as soon as the property is listed. So a lot of agents, unfortunately, do tend to forget that they've, you know, the work only just begins when the property is listed. I'm keen to get your thoughts on some of the things that you've put in place to, once you've listed someone's property, to really, I guess, lay it on thick when it comes to customer service and the experience following that.
Well, I think a couple of things I've always done is that always send a handwritten thank you card. I try to contact them at least three or four times in the first week after it's listed, just whether it be just to, rather than sort of have an admin person call to book their photos, I'll call and book their photos. We turn up to meet the photographer on site. We'll email them the link to the photo and a draft ad to sort of say, look, this is how it is. Are you happy with it? Do you want to pop in the office, have a look at how your brochure will look? Just to try to get them involved in that sort of part of it so that they feel that you're actually putting together, I guess, it's the story of their property with their involvement. So it actually shows that you've got a care factor rather than just, well, I'll just do it this way and, you know, I'm the expert. And we try to communicate that, you know, four or five times during that time. Then I always try to, if there's an auction on somewhere in their area in the week or two before they hit the market, just maybe get them to pop along. We might just quickly, you know, introduce them to the auctioneer. So they sort of feel that they're now part of well, not part of us, but sort of part of the team or part of what we do, as opposed to they sign a document and then 10 days later we put a for sale sign up. And I think that initial part of having the owners involved in that process makes them feel that you're working with them, not just working for them or just working for your result. You're actually working with them to get a result for them. And I've always found that communication, at least between, you know, listing the property and having the sign go up, I would normally speak or text or email owners at least 5 to 8 times in that time frame, just to sort of cement that goodwill that they picked you for a reason, and then you sort of cemented by that communication, and then that will continue on through the sale process as well, with maybe 2, 3, sometimes 4 communications a week, just with, you know, a mixture of SMS and email and written and phone calls, just depending on the owner.
Well, Greg, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula that you had in place was the right way to grow a real estate business? And again, take us there with you of a moment that stands out. What happened? What was going through your mind at the time, and how did that make you feel?
Oh, look, I think there's probably a couple. We all have those sort of, you know, winning stories. There's plenty of them. But even something as simple as when we started working at Open the Office at Auburn, we started doing you probably heard like the price drive sort of letters, that type of just simple stuff. And we've been doing that consistently since week one, from day one effectively. And we picked up a few leads, people called in. And interestingly, of that first 3 months of price drives between June and September 2013, we probably got about 15 leads. And of those that original batch of 15, I think we've sold 9 or 10 of them. And of those ones we've sold, those people, only one of those owners actually called in a second agent. Wow. So it was just an example to the team that if you generate the leads and then they go in and they're getting regular communication of value, whether it be inviting to an auction, the quarterly market report, whether it be, you know, something that's sold in their area, so you send them a target letter or a target brochure of, we just sold this around the corner from you, put them on the, you know, the weekly email, that over time those people, 90% of them won't go anywhere else because you've done enough to attract them and keep them, and they respect what you do and they feel that you offer good value and you're getting good results. So they don't need to shop. There's always been some people who shop around, but the majority of people go, no, look, we're happy with what you guys have done. We're now ready to sell. And there's that just an example of, I guess, that marketing approach. And then people just, you know, you get people who are recommended to you, do a great job for someone, they refer to someone else, do a great job for them. That property sells, they refer to someone else. So that whole system managing, or at least say managing the vendor or working with the vendor in terms of getting a result for them, they then appreciate that to recommend you to someone who's close to them. And that's probably the other big win, when you start getting the call of, you know, a friend of mine said to call you because, and they tell their reason for it, so you already know why they called you. And that's a big success when that happens, because generally, again, you're going into a listing presentation there with no competition.
Well, so often when you talk to a real estate agent, you ask what they do differently than any other agent, and you know, they so often talk about how they you know, better negotiate, or we can get a higher price for a property. But at no time, just in chatting to you for the last 20 minutes or so, Greg, have you mentioned anything about that? It's all about the experience and the customer service that you give, which I think is just amazing. And I've always said, I'm a big believer that the customer experience is pretty much the only unique point of difference that we have left to barter with in business. And you're showing that in spades in the service that you're giving to your clients, and it's obviously working for you.
Well, I think, George, when you, like, from a, say, going back 20 years to my school teaching background, I guess if you line up, say, three teachers and you say, well, who's a better teacher, the one who gets better marks or the one who gets, you know, higher grades for their class, but it's very hard to compare because every group of kids is different. Mm. So, you know, a teacher who gets kids from, say, marks of 30% to 60, is that better than someone who's from 80 to 90? But you can't really compare. Mm. So in terms of, I get saying to an owner, well, I get better prices, you can't prove that because you can only sell a house once.
Yeah.
So, like, could someone else have got a better price? You don't know. You can never really prove that. Mm. Whereas my thing is more a case of, you know, what's your care factor when you're working with the people? Have you got them a great result? Could someone have got maybe 5,000 more? Or could you, like, it's very hard to have that conversation. Mm. We do go through, of course, how we negotiate with a buyer. We go through how we run our auctions. We do speak to our owners a lot about our strategies around the properties in terms of, this is the buyers who we think it'll attract. We think for your property, you know, auction might be the best way, or tender, or for sale, or offers above, for these various reasons. This is the technical part of marketing your property. This is the photos that attract the most buyers. We do spend a lot of time in that part of it. But I think, you know, in the end, people like to deal with people who do a great job. And I've never been a big believer in sort of saying, you know, come to us, we do this or we do that. It's more a case of, well, we'll look after you and we'll work with you to get, you know, a great result for you, because they can then see the systems that you use and the approach you take with them. Of course, there's an element of, you know, planning and strategy to run a great auction and negotiating with a buyer on a for sale property. And we do go through with owners, this is how we do it. This is the outcome. This is the plan behind that negotiation. But that's in with everything else, as opposed to that's the main thing. Mm. And we just find that works for us. I mean, it's maybe not the way that some other people would do things, but we find that for us that approach works.
Well, it works for the long haul, Greg, and a lot of people may not take that approach, and they may be selling houses, you know, obviously talking about how they get higher prices and all that sort of thing, but at the end of the day, that is not going to work forever. And the longevity that you're building and the trust capital that you build with the community by just being there to help them as a more of a consultant, really, you're essentially consultants in the sale of someone's home, not so much a salesperson. I think that builds a lot more trust capital in the community that helps you long term.
Well, I think you have to have that element. I mean, you're in the end, you're working with people to help them, you know, go through whatever their situation is. Might be an estate, might be a divorce, might be they need to go to a bigger place, smaller place, retirement. So they're going through a stage of their life which is important. There's very few people that call you and say, "Look, sell my house. I don't care what you get. Just get rid of it."
Yeah.
Most people, they have an attachment to their property. And you're working through them to, in the end, you want to try to work with them to help them get to whatever the next stage is. Mm. For some people, it might be nursing home. For some people, it might be, you know, settle an estate. For some people, it might be just get a bigger house closer to the kids' school or whatever it may be. Yeah. But they need to feel that you're working for them and with them. And, yeah, price is a very important part of it. But I think people also want to see effort. What's your effort level? What have you tried to do? What's your strategy? What's your plan? Because it's always hard to prove what's the best price for a piece of property because it only sells once.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's sort of part of it. Well, you know, agent A says I get the best price. Agent B says I get the best price. Mm. How do you prove that? You know, because no two properties are the same.
That's right.
So you've then got to have other points of difference in terms of, well, this is how we look after you. This is our strategy. This is our plan. This is what we aim to do. And I often tell owners that, you know, selling your home or finding a buyer for your property is a bit like going fishing. Like, we can have the boat and the bait and the gear and all that sort of stuff and the weather, the conditions, but you really don't know how big that fish is going to be until you get it to the boat. Mm. And our job is to get the fish on the boat. And then if you're happy with the size of it, then you sell. Mm. If you're not happy with it, then we throw it back out. And a lot of people laugh and but they understand that. They go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah. And often when we even get to a negotiation, people say, well, look, we've got $650 for the house. We really want $670 for it or whatever. And we'll often say, well, this is back to the fishing story. If we throw the $650 fish back, how long is it going to be till the $670 fish turns up? Mm. It might be 5 minutes. It might be 5 weeks. Might be 5 months. Mm. And people understand that. And some people go, no, look, let's keep fishing. And some people say, no, let's take what we got. Mm. But at least they understand that you're happy to work with them. If they want to try for more, we're happy to go that way. Mm. If they want to accept this offer, we're happy to go that way. Yeah. In the end, we tell all of our owners that it's your property and you're in control. We'll give you some advice, suggestions, but in the end, you make the call. Mm. Mm. And I think people respect that.
Absolutely. No, without a doubt. Well, take us to today, Greg. What are you guys working on there at Star Partners Auburn that's getting you excited?
Well, we've just done a bit of an office refurb, which is why I couldn't catch up with you last week, which has been great.
Fantastic.
We've got a very, very small office space. Auburn doesn't have a lot of sort of modern commercial space. So we're in a tiny space. We've created a meeting room, done a little bit of stuff there, which has been great. I think just the fact that the things that we've put in place probably 12, 18 months ago, like the quarterly market report, like some of the people in the system are now getting their sixth or fifth or sixth edition of that. And they're calling the guys saying, look, I've been getting your info for a while. You know, I'm thinking of selling, come and see me. And so the fruits of what's been planted in some cases a year or two ago, or people who came through as a buyer, we've got their email, they've been getting the weekly email every week for some of them now almost 2 years, will just call in, say, look, I've been getting your email. I've just bought an investment property. Can you guys look after the management? Because no one else has kept in touch with me. At least you guys do that. So all of those things that we've put in place has been great. The next sort of project, we try to do a couple of projects a year, is probably in the area of lead generation and being a bit creative about our staffing. Having a small space, we haven't really got space for full-time people. So we've got a couple of people come in and work on Saturdays, and we're looking at, you know, people coming in just to sort of generate leads for the salespeople to go and talk to or build a database that way.
Yep.
So they're the sort of things that I guess is the next things on the agenda, and just got to keep working away at those.
Greg, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from our recent consumer research survey, where we asked people who have searched for a property to buy or rent in the past 2 years how they search for property online. We found 84% of buyers and renters never visit a real estate agency's website during their search for a new home. I'll say that again, 84% of buyers and renters never visit a real estate agent's website during their search for a new home. Most real estate web developers will have you believe that you need to invest in all of the latest bells and whistles, but if 8 in every 10 people aren't looking at your site to find a property to buy or rent, is it really worth a small fortune to prioritize your property listings? Potential sellers and landlords are the people most likely to visit your site to discern your credibility and decide whether or not they will call you about selling or managing their property. So what type of content are you putting front and center on your homepage for the people who are visiting your site? What type of content are you posting on your website in general? Is it helpful? Would you want to call your business if you stumbled across your own website? I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Greg, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Oh, yep, ready.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Oh, just one? Wow. I think when I started, there was a fellow called Tony Duggan who worked at the Maryland's office. He was a bit of a legend in the area, regularly listing 200, 250 properties a year. Wow. So I learned a lot from him in terms of, I guess, the whole business of real estate and how to work. So he was probably the first sort of mentor that I picked up along the way.
What is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Probably going for a surf down the south coast or watching Parramatta Eels play footy or just probably watching my kids play sport would be number one. If it's something for myself, it's probably going for a surf down the coast.
Greg, what is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
It's probably not a business book. It's a book by super coach Jack Gibson called Winning Starts on Monday. And it's just a book about success and success principles. That probably would cover sports, business and life, I think. So I'll put that one down.
Greg, what is your favourite technology or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
My kids call me a IT dinosaur, which, you know, because I had to get them to open the Skype account. Favorite IT thing? Oh, I'm not really that sure. I don't use it that much. I've got the iPhone. That's probably – does that qualify?
Absolutely. I don't think anyone could live without their smartphone these days, Greg, that's for sure. Well, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing, Greg, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I think the main thing that happens is that people get stuck in the, I call it the fog of real estate, where they've got so many things going around in their brain in terms of all the stuff that's involved in selling and listing real estate or working in property management. And I think it's the hardest thing is to get that clarity of your focus in terms of it's all great to have 10-year goals and 1-year goals and quarterly goals and all that sort of stuff. Whereas I'm a believer in what are you going to do in the next 7 days? And one thing I've done in my whole career and what I do with the team now is that we just sit down and go, well, forget 10 years and 5 years and 2 years down the track. What are we doing in the next 7 days? Who are the key people we're talking as a great buyer? Who are our next one or two great potential sellers? Who's our next great property management lead? And let's just focus on those 4, 5, maybe 10 people for the next 7 days and see what comes out of that. And then in a week's time, we'll sit down and focus on the next 7 days. And if you look at that, multiply that over 52 lots of 7 days, the numbers start to spin. But it's that clarity of focus and just identifying where the next opportunity is and just really working hard with those people in terms of adding value to them. What can you do for them? What can you do to get things across the line? That would be my biggest advice. Get clear on what you can do in the next 7 days and focus on that and do that.
Well, Greg, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Favourite success quote. There's probably two. You either do or you do not. There is no try, which was from Yoda from Star Wars, I think.
That's right, yeah.
And then there's probably just that one I heard last week which sort of summarised a lot of things in the sense of what's the difference between an amateur and a professional? Mm. Everything. And that really sort of resonated a lot with me in the sense of what we do. There's a lot of things that are you doing it at an amateur level or professional level? Mm. And that's probably one that sort of summarizes a lot of what I think about in terms of running an office or working as an agent.
I love that. There's a great book by Stephen Pressfield called Turning Pro, which I'm not sure if you've read that, Greg, but very much to your point, there's a line in that book that I've got written on my whiteboard right next to me right now. It says, an amateur has a million plans and they all start tomorrow. And I think it's very much to your point of, you know, what's the difference between amateur and professional? It is everything.
And I think the other one probably is, I remember the first ARIC I went to, John McGrath said, the power of an idea is in its implementation.
Absolutely.
And he made the comment that, there's 1,000 people in the room and 990 will walk out and do nothing with anything.
Yeah.
So if you just pick, and that's what I call the fog of real estate, if you just pick one idea and say, well, look, next 6 months I'm just going to put in a database plan or a market report plan or something, don't try to do 50 things, just pick one. Mm. Do that for the next 90 days and just sort of narrow that and get something implemented and then start the next project. Then when you look behind you, you'll see, okay, I've got 6 or 7 different lead generation things going and I've got, a few bits and pieces happening here and some referrals starting to come in. And then, that's basically what you want to try to get to.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Greg has kindly shared with us today along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/podcasts. Well, Greg, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to say thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to really enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Star Partners Auburn?
Oh, look, they can have a look on the website. I mean, if they want to give me a call, the office number is 97494949, which is down in Sydney. My mobile number is 0414378336. I guess they can contact yourself, or my email address is just greg@starpartnersauburn.com.au.
Greg, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Josh. It's been great.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.